So you who take leadership roles, you know, in the tribe of Judah, I should say, and really let your revelation, your commitment, and these things become a real influence and an inspiration to many, like a little catalyst, that where you see when you have some people who believe in what they do, some people that sacrifice to see the thing go forward, some people that is concerned and interested in this thing blossoming and coming forth to its fullest potential, that type of revelation in the hearts of people has caused others to be affected. You know, the scripture says, the salt have lost its savor, is good for nothing, but they tread on the foot of men. But when you have people salty, then they... You want to sit down here? I don't get with them sisters, man. You fine? There are a bunch of sisters over there. You want to be wrong, daddy? Me, you don't have to be wrong, daddy. No, I don't, daddy. I have a chain here, but... If you want to stay, you could stay, but I just, you know, I see by yourself, you have young girls, they want to fellowship, and may God's grace. So, as I was saying, that, you know, if the salt of loss is safe, it's good for nothing, and I thought that some appreciation, and to express it in a way, collectively, that this would be appropriate. And since we have the holiday today, then I was in kind of two minds, you know, and maybe if we didn't have to go Grenada and come back, I would have canceled service today and considered this would have been part of the church and service. So instead of having like a general service, we'd have service with part of the church. But because we had to be away from the church and be in Grenada, then we thought it would be appropriate to still have press service, but utilize what time we can here among ourselves. So this is not really meant to be like a big function type thing. This was designed to be a little time of fellowship among yourselves, you know, critical atmosphere and fellowship and, you know, do something together. Every time you come, you practice together, you sing together. I mean, you can sit together and eat and fellowship and have a good little time and know that your labor and your sacrifice has been recognized, is being recognized, will continue to be recognized as you continue to grow in your ministry. I wanted to also use this little occasion to launch off something here because, you know, we ask the brothers should be assisting you all at times seasonally in the prayer services to be here as well. You know, the Monday night prayer meeting that we have with the singers and so on. Then, so Brother Ellis, Brother Steve is here, Brother Neville is supposed to be here as well. You know, these brothers help you and they exhort you and they try to encourage you in these prayer services. Also, by God's grace, I want to let you know we have designated three sessions, like a three-part series to set up with you soon, and that will be dealing basically with ministry in the song department of the church, because this is one of the parts of the church we're really getting, attacks. And, you know, the kind of attacks, the kind of damage, and the kind of pressure, it just seems the enemy want to focus upon you all. And it seems sometimes to many of you all, you sing in church, but you don't carry the consciousness that sometimes you need to carry with singing. And because of that, sometimes you sort of put yourself in vulnerable places and then eventually it becomes a pressure. And then, you know, that is the lack of consciousness of ministry and how to carry your ministry. And since there's a lot of young people and single young people, then in this department, then it's obvious there are other things that go along with it. many of you in the mating season age, and being in the mating season age, you know, you're attracted to the opposite sex. You have a lot of time to fellowship with each other and talk with each other and laugh with each other, and relationships develop and build out of there, which is nothing wrong. That is how things happen. But the thing is, after a while, you have no guidelines. And after a while, you lost sight of church principles. And after a while, everybody started to do their own thing. And after a while, it become very visible in the church. And then it kills your testimony. It destroys your influence. It undermines your ministry. And then after a while, you find that we have singing, but it could just be going through the motion. For it to stay a live wire, lighting up the church, motivating the services, inspiring the people, creating greater respect for you, have admiration for you, influenced by what you do, and standing in full support behind you, then there'd have to be some spiritual maturity taking place. Because it means to say, you all are the first ones that people is even see in church. From the time before the service could start, you are already up in front of the people. So people get to view you standing there. People get accustomed to viewing you. And after a while, they remember images of you. And then they see you outside the service and in service. And then in their mind, when they compare, if they find that they don't relate properly, then they realize you could have a church identity and an outer church identity. Then you become confusing. Then you create questions in people's heart. Are you for real? Are you serious about this? Do you have a revelation of what you do? And then it's not people thinking bad about you, is you have created your own world and entered into your own world and have been sending conflicting signals and confusing people. But when people see that each day you are growing and getting more mature and getting stronger and more committed, after a while, as the saying goes, they'll take their hat off of you. They'll stand aside to let you pass because you have earned people respect. You become a minister in the house of God. We can give out those titles and we can use the term loosely and say, you're ministering to the saints when you stand up to minister and me in my ministry. But ministry, the thing, the devil does prove a ministry. The devil is, God is have to loose the devil at a ministry to see if that is for real. Anything that have to stand before the people cannot be categorized under cosmetic. It must be real, grow to the root. It must be pruned. It must be cultivated. It must grow strong. It may be something that people can take fruit from and eat and be nourished if it's genuine. If it's living off the life and bringing forth its own testimony. And after a while, you know, even among your own selves, you know, sometimes it can get to the place where you can say, what was she doing here? But what are you doing here? And then sometimes among your own selves, you have things happening and you create a place for it. You create an allowance for it. You become a protector for it. And you start to protect things that is detrimental to the ministry and to the church. And then you become now somebody who has taken a side with darkness against light. Unconsciously, because you see everything that is happening on a human level. You don't see it as, this is God thing. This is a ministry in the church. That you all have special seating in the church. You have a special area designated for you all. People come into the church in other places and get other people's seat. People can't come to where you all sit and get you all seat. Sometimes you all sit down there and don't realize that how things are structured to give you all the identification in the assembly. And, you know, so we have to have a little time set aside for that, which we would, and you'd be informed, because we have to go through that, because there's a great need to go through that this time. As I say, if I were to say 50% of the problems in the church right now is right among you all here. Things that like you can stumble people, influence people the wrong way, be a certain way. So the thing is, these things are not intentional problems. I'm not saying people conspiring here. This is not about that. This is sometimes you lose sight. sometimes a little attention, a little popularity, a little something, and you have influence, and you don't realize responsibility goes with that. That's a great prize. In things like church, once you have influence, that's a great prize. Because from the moment you go to stand before people, and then a lot can be pruned off, you know, it's the word come there, that's a junction time word. Anything that don't bear the fruit, the path that's supposed to bear, how do we prune off? How do we purge? Anything coming on the vine, the strangler in the vine, have to be cut off. Because it either it stays so, get hindered, and the fruits start to fall off before it comes to maturity, or if this this branch have the potential, this Judah branch here, in this spiritual Israel, could bring forth a certain type of fruit, and we know we ain't hit that quality of fruit yet, then we want to know, let us cultivate the branch until we see that kind of fruit. And the Father is glorified. And we come together, and no matter what we do, a blessing goes out, the presence of God, the power of God. And the only way that can really happen, we have to try to contain it. It mustn't just flow through us. We have to contain it. You don't think it could flow through you, and when you're done, something passed through you. In other words, I get used. I ain't gonna get used. I might never get used that way again. And it's just like something was used at the time. Something flowed through you. But the thing is, you must have a measure of it yourself always, what you live by. So we don't just want to be used. Because remember, God is using everybody. God used Nebuchadnezzar, God used Balaam, God used Judas. God has used everybody to where he can use them. But God don't live in everybody. God don't abide. He said, abide in me, and I abide in you. We're talking living in people now. So we don't want to just be used. God used Elvis Presley. God used Sam Cooke. God could use Michael Jackson. God used a lot of people. But the thing is, where are they today? The blessing could fall on the just and the unjust. But we want to know, every tree will bring forth its kind. Good tree cannot bring corrupt fruit. Neither could a corrupt tree bring good fruit. There's a lot of things that would like to corrupt us. And when we become corrupted, then we no longer have something original. But you all have been blessed greatly by God. I'm just here to help you realize how much you've been blessed and what talent you have. And what God has deposited in you, and then to say, how now can this be worked? If this has brought us this far with our struggles and our trials and our discoveries and our problems, there is some overcoming inside of there. If we add overcoming to that, think of it. Think of what some overcoming can do. If I can overcome my hang-ups, you can overcome your hang-ups. Different can overcome their hang-ups. And because the things that we have to overcome is what is hindering us right now from being in the fullness where we ought to be. And you know, right now we have a big part of us that is hurting ever since in Grenada, that is going through a hard time. I was thinking today, you know, in the services, when we have services come up, in the morning part of the service, and I trust the song leaders will listen to me now. Let us be mindful. You see, I was trying to do to the preaching. You know how to try to do it with the singing. To be conscious when you stand there, it goes out in the region. And so there will be a selection of songs always from our next service that would be sung in mind to bring encouragement, to give strength to for the believers that keep looking up and to help inspire them in the time of difficulty. And that when you start to sing, you know, sometimes the song leader, you know, can make mention, you know, to our precious brothers and sisters in Grenada, we want to even dedicate a song, and we even want to, you know, let them know we are here, encourage them, and even for the singers, when you go to sing, you know, and as we are singing this, and you minister, and we're singing this in mind with our brothers and sisters who are gathered this morning, may not even have electricity, and may not even, you know, hard transport to come to church, or it might be difficult, or whatever it is they're going through, may not have sufficient to be able to get around in their home, whatever it is, but take courage, look up, you know, God's with us, and we're going to come through this by the grace of God, and we are going to overcome this, because this is not our destiny, and you know, in other words, But this again shows where we ought to be. We go out of your faith to give virtue to strengthen others. So before we can give it out, we have to possess it. And we must have it that we can give it out. And here now we have believers who need that kind of lift. We all can't go over there, go to their house, sit down and talk with them. But while we're here in service and they are part of the same service, we can sing a song for them. We can sing a song, not that kind of business. You know what I mean? Well, your heart and mind and whatever you say is there for them. Your conscious part of the body need this right now. And even to get that, it can't be, well, let me do something for you this morning. Somewhere in your life, you have to discover a deeper place to start to see in your ministry. You have to have resources to draw on. You have to have resources. In other words, if this morning you have to start to look for this, and we have to thumb through some books, then it should look how in our ministry we needed foresight. Foresight would have us with all these things in our ministry. Because if God wanted to bring in, like we said, 3 people in destitute condition among us, and God sent them in the house of God, go up there, have some people there, you can get a blessing. And then we don't have something there to relate to their situation. When that man picked up the man from the ditch and took him to the inn, he knew an inn where that man could get help and be restored back. He was traveling with oil and wine that he could help a man in that condition. So we always have to have something that could help somebody. People who are called for ministry, ministry means God in you want to work to help other people. God wants to project his life through you. God wants to project his faith through you. God wants to project a word through you. God wants to project something that can give virtue and strength to someone through you. And you want to live and stay there. Once you are faithful in those things, God will take care of all your needs. Every need you have. From companionship to your home to your leadership in your life, providing to supply your physical needs. Whatever it is, because there you're seeking first the kingdom, because you understand your place in your kingdom and what you've been gifted for to serve in the kingdom. You have to start to believe, if that's a gift in you, if that's a calling in your life, you have to start to believe in that. You have to start to know, God has called me to serve here. I started growing understanding. What is required of me to serve here? How best can I serve here? And then because this is a collective ministry, we could break up this by becoming cliquish, or we could be one big clan. If we become cliquish in here, we break up this for ourselves. Not me and them, not me and she, not me and this one over here, not me staying far from this one, and we in the same thing. We can't have that. You have to say, I have to find a way to break this barrier. I have to find a way to get closer. If that person can't do it, and I say I have the life, I have to be a little more mature to be able to rise up and go out. If they can't come to me, I can go to them. Because if we can minister to one another, it took not to be to the home first. If we can minister to one another here in this tribe, we ain't ready yet to minister to somebody outside this tribe. If we can promote division within and among ourselves, we are going to be destructive to other people we get in contact with, because we carry the elements and the seeds of division and strife within us already. We would have to know love exists among us. We'd have to know unity exists among us. We'd have to know understanding exists among us. We'd have to know how we can self-destruct or how the devil can destroy us from outside. Whether he can destroy us from within or destroy us from without. These are things we have to know. When you're in ministry and collective ministry, you must know the principle that holds you together. Then become strong. Then become blessed. Then become fruitful. Then become honoring to God. Then we're going to see the presence of God among us. Then we're going to see what we do become a blessing. Then we begin to see others growing and prospering under the ministering that we are doing. And then people begin to see the value for us. Then you're going to have people praying for you. Then you're going to have people supporting you. Then you're going to have people standing behind you. Then you're going to have people have confidence in you when they see you stand there. divine love reaching out to you. You gotta be fighting through people because people know you are given to the church to be a blessing to the church. And when you come in there, you come in there to bless people. You don't break out self, me, I, myself, my ambition, what I want to do, who better than who prefer. You don't break out of there already. It means us, we, the tribe, for God, the church, the glory of God, and begin to move there. And I'm sure some of you are catalysts in these kind of things, in everything, like just like the human body. You have heart, you have lungs, you have kidney, you have liver, you have a lot of main organs. And some people in ministry, they are gifted in certain ways. They become, you know, certain catalysts in the church that can be sources of inspiration to others. Some of you in the ministry longer than others. Some now coming in. To some, they're viewing singing in the church as finding something to do in the church. This is more than finding something to do. This is more than associating with people. People have gone on certain blocks to line with certain people. This could become a church block. And you can get people in the church population want to get on that particular block, to associate on that block. And then when you go on block, certain people have a ranking block. So then you have certain ones who want certain rank and control on that part of the church. This is not for that. This is a part of the house of God that perfumes the church, that brings an aroma, that brings a joy to the church. This ministry is to bring joy, and the joy is the strength. And if this ministry keep making the church a singing church, you can serve to bring joy to the people. You can make the Lexus Assembly a happy church, a strong church, a church that could laugh, a church that could smile, a church that could sing and laugh at the troubles, a church that could laugh at the hardships, because you will have something in you to generate that. Many of you sing in the choir, and that's where you sing in the church. And the first thing I don't understand, you're in a collective part of the ministry. You are one voice that is part of a harmony, and you are one voice uniting with others. And you must know the importance of unity and harmony in order to see progress. And so when we come together like that, God can really, really, you know, enrich what we do. I mean, you all are great, it's a great blessing in singing, but, you know, we want to grow. We want to grow, not just in singing alone. We want to grow in our life, our commitment. We want to start to know the message. We want to start to know what the word says. Because after a while, it just gets shallow. There'll be no life behind it. Somebody come and talk to you, they realize you don't even understand the song you sing. Yet you sang it so beautifully. Sometimes, you know, we fail to see that for people in this kind of ministry, because we sing a variety of songs, God has made you experience pain to sing a song to heal somebody who has pain. God has given you hardship to come to sing something to help somebody with a hardship. And they're getting virtue to you. So you're going to find that once ministry, it looks nice and attractive to be in it, but it's a very painful thing because it means say God will make demands in your life that you don't make in other people's life. And then that is the part that wake up a lot of people because they doesn't realize that. They think it's just walk up, practice for 2 hours in church, walk up the 5 minutes, sing this Sunday, and they're living right there. They're living in a 2 hour practice and a 5 minute singing. And the rest of their life, there is everything is not gathered to focus there. And this is where their life has to be, walking in. I'm trusting by God's grace as we see we have entered into a season here now where even we as ministers and deacons, we had a meeting last night and even before we left to go to Grenada, we started to realize that we have the kind of demands now and where we enter into that God have even took us to Grenada to teach us things that we never experienced and we never passed before. And We were talking last night. If you have a church that size affected that way, what about if we have this church affected in that manner? This is trying to deal with 60, 70 people. What about having to deal with hundreds of people who are affected and displaced and everything else? You know what kind of chaos that is? But it shows God wants to train us, and our Christianity have to get real serious and real focused. That don't mean tension and pressure, you know. Because the thing is, you got to enjoy serving God. You got to be happy serving God. You got to have a smile on your face serving God. This has to be the greatest place of joy. Otherwise, you got to leave here and find joy somewhere. But it's the greatest place of joy. When you come to church, you gotta be happy. When you meet your brothers and sisters, you gotta be quick to cheer them up. When you go and you see a church under pressure, gloomy, you have to say, Lord, look what in my ministry, a woman who is making a mobby and a good sour sup and so on, and school children or workers, construction workers passing for that. When she see in the heat of that sun, them men work so hard, and when they from the time little break they get, is a trail heading down to that little small parlor where there's a box or something and some ice in a styrotex container or something. And they take that and they're going back to work and work the rest of the afternoon. She sits down there and she's saying, from small my mother teach me to make a good mobby. And the man saying, give me two. And a man saying, here, I'll take it the next one. I'll pay you Friday. And it's three he drink before he go back. You know what I'm saying? And next day, he became a friend. You know that woman scene? Look at my little sour sup. Look what you do on that construction site. So if your little mobby and sour sup on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Fridays could come out here, and you can have the church happy and smiling. You know what I'm saying? You can see what little you can do spiritually really amount to much when it's put in God's hands. That's a great thing. So, I'm finished. We want to eat and fellowship and relax. I just want to say thanks to all of you for a real sacrifice, the hours and hours of practice coming up. Sometimes going back home late and going through hard times. We're going forward. The hill is going to get steep for us. We want to be more united. We want to work a little harder by the grace of God. We want to understand a little better. We want to pray a little more sincere. And we want to see a little more deliverance in our own lives. And may God make us a fruitful vine. And may God bless you all individually in your ministry. We're going to have those three meetings. We have to kind of find the right place to schedule it. It's not going to be, it has to come kind of immediate. But we have one or two little trips here causing us to get to Grenada. But we promised that. I promised Brother Bishop and did that. That we take like three on ministry and so on to help bring awareness and our understanding. Increase your faith in your anointing and your ministry, and know how to what God requires. And each one of you by now should learn that scripture as your memory verse. See, a vessel of honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Chosen vessels to bear his name. That is you on the potter's wheel. That's a turn, you know, that influence in our lives. Joseph, the fruitful vine. This is what we want to be by God's grace. Is what we want to be. The potter and the pruner is here. The vine dresser is here. So, you know, we understand. If we say pot, in this season, this year, God revealing himself to us as the potter and the vine dresser. Once you know he reveals himself as the potter and the vine dresser, you know this is not sweetie business. This is a little pain. Hold still a little bit. This is bend the vine, nail it down, tie it here. You want to run this way, push it back, because your fruit has to stay in the presence of the sun to get ripe. This thing you're bearing, cut it off, let a little more energy come in the places where the energy to come. We can't waste some anointing here and waste some anointing here and waste some here. It has to go where the food can come from. Have a nice little song for you. So, by God's grace, so we trust in that God will really make us sensitive, lead you, give you songs in this season, lift up the church, bless you in your ministry. The young brothers, you all doing a tremendous job. I like your attitude coming out. I like your body language when you start to sing. And I talk about the new crop in the men's part of the singing. You know, something came to me, Sarah. Sarah is here today? Sarah wrong today? The last couple of days, something, an idea coming to my head about, I say, you know, we're making so much of CDs and MP3s and songs and videos, DVD, song specials and these things. I say, we ought to have, in this church at least, a CD, a children's CD, with songs written on the message for children, sing-along songs, something unique, original, to the Exodus Assembly, something really nice that for the children, that the children can have. You know, we have some, but they have a lot of the other songs, and people try to do one or two from, I guess, gleaning one or two songs, that type of thing. But I'm sure God can bless us, inspire us, and God, you see, to write a lot of songs for young children and so on, and something we'll catch here and worship and singing all through the day. That will be something that I believe will be a great little need and a great little blessing. A need will be filled here if we get something like that by God's grace. So I just say Sarah, because I know she had attempted that, but whoever God gave her to the children, if two children could live, Sarah, who would play music and sing and sit down home and like she have a little baby and, you know, singing along with her, whatever, God gave her to inspiration, we could do something like that. I'm sure it's going to be a real blessing in the church, and it's going to even bring a great joy. So this time we just want to pray. We want to give special thanks for Sister, our precious Sister Williams. You know, she have been so faithful to Louise to stand by my side, and anytime I want this kind of assistance, she takes over, and she don't really charge me at all. She just want me to, she said, I know it's for the saints, and so on, so on, so. And I she don't make nothing. She just, we just give her the money for the basic foodstuffs, and she put all her labor and her time and everything. And even, I didn't expect this kind of rental thing. At first, I started off saying, do little finger things, we can walk about the place, relax. Somebody made the announcement Sunday while I wasn't here, and I think it's Michael, and he says, you know, it's going to be lunch, and so on, so on, so, and different things. And when Louis hear that, you know, she says, well, if it's going to be lunch, you know, I think we should kind of do something a little heavier. So you see where the hearts of some of the believers are for you. She's in the background. Maybe you don't see her having much contact with her as the tribe of Judah. But Emil, I asked especially for him to be here because somehow he always cooking for the whole church. I felt that he should just come and sit and eat and enjoy. He and his wife are supposed to be here, that they enjoy, could make it, so that he eat for the two of them by the grace of God today. So they have a good and wonderful time. So everything go sweet. So just want to offer a word of prayer to give God thanks. Father, we are so grateful for your children, these that we love and pride ourselves in, and take great joy because of the way that they have rallied in the church together and come forth unified and have become such a light and a blessing in the church, dear God. Though they have been attacked by the enemy, though Satan, Lord, have despised them and tried to hinder them in many ways, though, God, some have fallen, they rose up, Lord, and want to keep going forward, Father, we are praying in the name of Jesus Christ today as we try to express our gratitude and to let them know that we have recognized their labor. We have seen their sacrifice. We have tried to give a little honor to them here today to say thank you. You are such a blessing in the house of God, and we desire to see them continue to be a greater blessing, dear God. And so we ask today that your Holy Spirit would just pour out richly into every heart, your Spirit, to give strength and power and might in the inner man, and bring joy and gladness, and illuminate the minds and enlighten them, dear God, and cause your love to make them be so closely knitted together with godly respect for each other, Father. And dear God, those who have the responsibilities over them, the song leaders, Lord, the helps and the governments and the singing ministry, Lord, may your Holy Spirit bless every effort and, Lord, every practice and every little program and everything, Lord, that is being done for the cultivation, for the upliftment, for the benefit of this part of the church, that it continue to be a great blessing, knowing that many of them, they're on the website there, and their songs on the website, and people from around the world go to that place like a well and dip down the buckets and bring up the waters of salvation, singing their homes, playing the cars and everything, because something was done on this spot of ground here. Something came out of these hearts. Something, Lord, through the collective efforts, Lord, cause your bride internationally to be so blessed and to be inspired. May they be able to envision this, and may cause them to be motivated even to greater heights, to dedicate themselves even further, and you'll bless them. Bless Sister Louise and her staff, and all, Lord, who labor to make this sacrifice. And Lord, may you bless the food and sanctify it, and bless the fellowship, and give us a great time in each other's company and in your presence together, dear God. May there be freedom, and may there be, Lord, just a joy flowing through this place in every heart, that we have good, lively fellowship, and we enjoy the few hours that we would have before the evening shadows would fall, and we would come, Lord, to the prayer service. But may you just have your way among us. We give you thanks for all things. We love and we look forward for the times when we'd have those three little meetings, Lord, that you'd give us the inspiration to help bring a greater anointing, a greater faith, Lord, for the days ahead. Have your way among us now, and may you bless us all together. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So God bless you. I know there's some leaders in them, and they... Brothers who help, Brother Stephen, but let somebody come and take a place up at the front here by God's grace. They say you need 20 minutes. You don't want $20. It takes some money to give $20, but you should not 20 minutes. So, how about somebody got a little testimonial song or something? The mic is up here. Just step up here, and if you put your hand, we bring it to you by God's grace. Come, this is your evening. This is not my evening. This is your evening. I just try to express as the pastor, on behalf of the church, you know, some sentiments here, but just lift that hand quickly, and let me pass this here for some of you who've been blessed. Think about the convention, you was there, we're trying to honor you and express our appreciation during that time. Some of you had experience, some of you was blessed, some of you...
God richly bless everybody. I am not going to sing today, I'm going to talk about my experiences through convention. Never had the opportunity to talk with everybody like this. But, you know, when I got the song to sing, I'm used to singing backup. I am used to it. And after a while, you get comfortable. You know, you get in a comfy little nest. And you start to minister from that comfort zone. And the increase God wants to get from you, you're not going to get it if you get that comfortable. And when I heard that it's time to come out from that and stand in front, I felt like packing and running, you know, and because I'm like, I can't do this. This is not me. I felt way out of my league, you know. It was a whole different scene for me, and I'm wondering, how do I do this? And, you know, Brother was telling me, Jemima would just spend time with the song. But by that time, the song was spending time with me. Because if you listen to the words of the song, here it is, you're saying, take me and mold me and use me. And you actually ask the Lord to do this. This is not you saying, well, I want to mold me and I want to take me. This is God you have to do this to me. And for him to do that, you have to let go. And as a singer, I always like to know that I am the one that can make the note this high, and I am the one that can make it sound this sweet. I felt comfortable doing that. But to sing the potter's heart, God took all that away. You know, during practices, I couldn't hit one note right, and I felt as though I didn't know the meaning of the word sing. You know, it was really... a feeling that I have never been used to before. I'm usually somebody that I think is very composed, and you know, going to work, I can concentrate, I can focus on anything, because I felt totally stripped of all my self-control, all that I am, that I could do. I couldn't do it anymore. You know, sometimes I would sit there and I just break down and cry. It was really unusual for the people who saw me to see me in this atmosphere, because, you know, she's not like this. She's in control of who she is. And now I'm just this weak, helpless person. And I called Alison today for work, and I was on the street looking for lunch. Just couldn't find any food in the whole of Port of Spain. And I spoke to Alison, what am I going through here? I don't understand it. I've never been this place before. And she said, for the potter to mold this clay how he wants it, he has to, you know, break it and squeeze it in certain places. She's talking to me like this. And then the reality of that started coming to me, and there the street, I'm just like crying, you know, all wet, and people's like, sir, what is with her? And I couldn't help it, because I started thinking, Lord, me. I mean, you chose me at this time to do this to me, and I sort of feel real grateful. And it's like there was a dam in me that just burst, and it just started coming out, and I was like, thank you, Lord, I don't understand it, but thanks. And I began to understand what it is you want, but you still let go, because I asked him, I said, Lord, how do I let go? I keep saying, Lord, take me and have you, but I don't know how to let go to let you do that. And it's like gradually he started letting me see, this is how you do it, just let go, you know. I don't know how to explain that, but I came to that place. And coming to sing this song, I went there, and I'm standing on that spot where I have to sing. And I'm saying, Lord, right now, I know I can't sing it. I tried, you know, and if it was up to me, I would say I can't do it, get somebody to do it. But you want me to do it? And I'm here responding to your call. You say you are the potter. You want to work with this clay. You send the clay here right now. Come and use the clay. Do what you want with it. And I came with that attitude. You know, I got really close with Jeremiah 18, those first few scriptures. It became me. You know, the first three letters in Jeremiah is J-E-R, and the first three letters in my name is J-E-R. And every time I read it, I would say, and the Lord said to Jemima, that was my scripture, to go down to the potter's house. And I would say, look at obedience, he went. And, you know, God showed him what it is he wanted to show him. And I'm saying, well, the Lord is saying to Jemima, go down to the potter's house. He has something to show me, so I'm going down. I'm going to be obedient. I don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, but I'm going to go down. You know, so I went and I stood there, said, Lord, come and you say you have your way. Let me see what you're going to do. So standing there and singing, it was not me. Jemima is not somebody who likes to stand in front of the whole crowd and sing. I'm really comfortable doing that, probably four or five people or in a little room, but I've never seen myself either do that comfortably in front of everybody. But if that is what God calls you to do, that's the best place you could be. You know, the best thing you can do is answer when he calls. I tried running, it didn't work. It is so. I'm standing here and I'm saying, Lord, I'm obeying you right now. You know, you come and back up your word. And when I'm singing, you know, at the beginning, you're there fighting to get control of it. And he's like, no, you're not supposed to be in control of the song. He is supposed to be in control. And you just start to let go. I said, Lord, just take control. And I was really, you know, blessed to hear the sales come and say, sister, you blessed me. And I'm telling him, no, it wasn't me. He blessed you. You know, he had to get me out of the way to bless you. And if he did that, you know, I'm really grateful for it. You know, from the bottom of my heart, I thank him for that, because that's what I wanted to come out of his song at the end of it. Not Jemima sang a good song. Jemima, you were wonderful. Jemima had nothing to do with it. I've never felt so beaten before in my life to the song. I never had so many problems with a song in my life, honestly. You know, I tried all how to get this song as perfect, you know, vocally and everything as I could, and I couldn't. nothing seemed to connect, and came to a place where I had to say, Jamila, you can't sing. Just step aside and let God do the song. And he did that, and I want to say thanks. I appreciate him very much for it. And I trust that as the song, you know, is played by every believer, every unbeliever, it will continue to be a blessing, because that is what he wants all the way from it. I thank the singers for the support they gave me. I mean, they have been there standing with me from day one. You know, a lot of them know the times I would lock myself in the room and say, I'm not coming out because I can't go there and practice. I don't want to. And they would come and, you know, bring back the word to remember us, to encourage you, and say, we stand behind you. We hear 100% with you. I couldn't do it without them. You know, the brothers, the sisters, they really encourage me. Young people can be so, you know, frail out there in the world, but when you stand with young people like you all, I mean, it gives you something to live for. Thank God very much for you all. Thank God for, you know, God's servants standing there, looking over us, guiding us the right way. I appreciate you all very much. Thank you for everything. And I give God all the honor and glory for all that he is doing and will continue to do with us. God bless you all.
Guiding me by your Holy Spirit.
God bless you all. Really a privilege to stand before you all and say something. Okay. All right. This year we'll make it about 20 years that I've been in the assembly, being part of you all singing as was. I think it was last month or either this month, I'm not too sure. It was 1984, I came in the assembly, and you know, Brother Vin said something there, and I'm a living witness that once you are a gifted person, once God use you or raise you up to be a blessing, you'll be attacked full force by the enemy. But I want to give God thanks for the 20 years that I've been in the assembly, ministering to the saints, call upon on different occasions to sing a song. I'm thanking God that I could be still standing by His grace and still have the love in my heart to minister to His people. Because you know the Bible said the fruits of your lips giving praise. We are a bunch of people that out of the fruits of our lips we give praise. And you know they said that a tree that have fruit will be the most attacked tree. So why we just get the kind of attacks we just get is because the fruits of our lips is be giving praise and helping and ministering to saints. And I want to say for those 20 years, saints, singing is not just the ability to put words together. It's really a ministry, and God is testing you to the max. Just like Joseph, a gifted son, but God is testing you to the max. Because God don't just want you to bring out little fruit. God wants us to bring out much fruit. And I want to thank God for keeping me through those 20 years and being a part of you all.
saying something. I felt too that I haven't done enough for you all being part of the Judah. I feel I've done enough, but I want to stand this today and pledge my support more. Because when you hear that, you know, I was reading the life of Judah recently. And, you know, the Bible said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. And when I was reading how Judah, the kind of careless way he was living, and how the enemy wanted to mess him up. Why? Because God said the scepter will not depart from Judah. And anytime the enemy know, you will be a blessing. You will encourage somebody. He is getting on all sides. I guess we have to come to the consciousness that once we are gifted, once we are blessed, once the fruits of our lips is given praise, we will be attacked. And I pray that for us, there'll be a greater consciousness, even for me. Because what growing up singing in the assembly, I'm not just singing no more. I'm going out to schools. And one of the things that I'm seeing, not just when I started singing, one of my greatest love, or my greatest love, is to be in the Word. Not just to sing, but to spend time in the Word. And to see sometimes you're going out to schools and you're seeing people who don't know A about God. And God could use you to talk to somebody, let them know, even this season here, this hurricane season, to minister to people. So know so that God could use you more. Just not just use you to sing, but to use you to even go to speak to somebody. And I want to pledge my support more today. That was still, I'm pledging my more support because God have given us some of the older ones great experiencing. Sometimes you, the young ones, going through experience. Sometimes God, I'm open fellowship to encourage, so because we will continue to be attacked because we are giving forth fruit. So may God continue to bless us and pray for me. Again, I say I'm 20 years for me. It's been a rough 20 years, but I thank God to be still here, worshiping Him, being a part of the assembly, pressing the battle by God's grace. And we still have time there? All right. So God bless your heart. And I'm saying, saints, if you all need any encouragement, any way, some things, maybe become more clannish and more knitted after today. God bless you all.
Not distress, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Oh no, persecuted, but not forsaken. Even in trials, we are not forgotten. That's why in all these things, we are more than conquerors, pressing upward with, hold on, to bearing our bodies, to dying of our Lord every day, every day. We are vessels of fire,
set aside
unto the master's use. Thank the Lord. And praying before you, present me in truth, for vessels of honor, oh yes, vessels of honor, set aside unto the master's use. Thank you, Jesus. And praying before you,
still have a few more minutes, so if anybody else wants to say something.
Lord was tempted on every side, yet without sin, that we could reign with Him. To be the true Savior, Lord and King, and blessed Redeemer. That's why in all these things, we are born to God. conquerors, pressing the upward way, the upward way, and we bear in our bodies the dying of our Lord every day.
God bless you all richly. I'll take the opportunity seeing that no one else and really want to see something and not much to see, but really thankful to God to be invited here with you all this afternoon. And you know, for the past few years that been with you all, even in the prayer meeting that we had. You know, it's such a wonderful thing, you know, to see how you all have been growing in His grace. You know, in the midst of the circumstances, the hard trials and the testing times that many of you all have to go through, you know, but to see how God had kept many of you all and, you know, to stand faithful there. You know, it's always a great thing to know, too, that the way that you all have to stand to work with the ministry, because you know when in the book of Revelation when the seals was being opened there in symbol form, you all there was one of the ministry that was being identified, you know, inside of there, you know, because the scriptures say that they sang a new song, you know, and as always that is always affect me there, because you know, in the midst of all the things that is taking place, you know, God could have put in that there, and then to see even amongst us as the ministry that God had given unto us, the heights and the depths of the reality of God that is being ministered, and to for God to identify you all inside of there with the ministry is such a great thing, you know, because that is not an ordinary thing. I don't believe that. And two, you know, once you all even understand that in a real way of the calling that God had called you all to work with the ministry, because even I as a deacon and knowing what it takes and the sacrifice it will take, the commitment it will take, the love it will take for the ministry to work with the ministry, and there are many times that even I think sometimes I was mentioning that to you all too. Sometimes when the tapes go out into the region and different places around the world, sometimes the ushers might not be seen as significant. The deacons might not be seen. The trustees might not be seen. Different ministries in the assembly might not be seen up front. But the first people that that is being seen is the song leader, the singers, the musicians, even before the minister even comes onto the thing. So, you know, you always like the first appearance on the tapes, you know, and sometimes, many times we go out there and then the people will be so affected by what they see and what they hear, you know, so it's such a commitment and a sacrifice to really stand there in the place where you all are standing. It's not an ordinary thing. And you all should never, never count it as an ordinary thing. It's something that is a testimony. It's something that when people look and they sometimes they are being affected so much with what has been spoken by the word. And they look to see the produce out of the word. And then what they see first is what they have been influenced by, you know. So it's a great commitment for you all to stand faithful there. And even this last convention here, it had been such a great thing. You know, to see how God had used you all. The thing really is that is to maintain that, to carry it on, that it could be not only for a little short space of time, but it will be able to work for you all to bring the deliverance and the victory in your life that is needed. Because I believe that as we have been taught to, that out of your placing and the gift that God had given unto you, once you understand that, that have everything locked up inside the day for you. You know, everything. Your victory lies in your position. And you understand that this is not just a singing ministry, but this is a position that God had given you to minister to the bride around the world. That is where your victory lies. And you capitalize on it, and you're going to see things work out in a great way for you. You know, so may God bless you all and keep you all, take all the instructions that is given, the things that the servant of the Lord have on his heart for you all. You know, wherever he go, you know, we sit together with the people, we talk to the people, but he always talk about his singers. Whether it's in Grenada, whether it's in St. Vincent, whether it's in Dominica, whether it's in St. Lucia, wherever he go, he always talk about his singers. You know, and when you understand that, that means he's put his ministry in a place really that the life that the people see that you live is what he identifying with, you know. So it's a great commitment that is, you know, to you all. So may God bless you all and prosper you all in the gift that he had given unto you all, that there is many people around the world that change lives, that change homes, people that create atmosphere in the lives of the people. Sometimes sometimes they can remember what is being spoken, but sometimes the right song that is being sung, the time when the word is being ministered in the home, they create the right atmosphere. I testify about that because that happens to me. Sometimes my little children, down to the smallest little one, they will try to sing the songs that you all sing. You know, and that in itself bring the atmosphere in the home. So God bless you all richly, and even here in Sister Jemina. Even to hear she testified, I remember when she was going to that, she said, you know, Brother Ellis, I tried to call you, because I was trying to understand what is, you know, taking place, you know, with me and thing, you know. She said, I didn't get you, but the thing really is that now I start to understand after the, you know, she saw how God had blessed her, you know, to make herself available to him. So God bless you all. The more you make yourself available, is the more God could use you all. God bless you all richly.
Set aside unto the message you.
aside unto the master's use. Thank you, Lord. And there he did foreknew, then he did choose. What vessels of honor, vessels of honor, set aside unto the master's use.
You all are very special to us. And I really wish that we could see you all more often. Thank you. But you know that there is coming a day that you would not pass. Very soon you would not pass. And when the convention is over, you all will go back to your home. But I want to encourage you all to press it back. I know it's hard, and sometimes you feel you don't want to give up, but you hold on, you keep pressing. God is going to take care of you, because he wants to raise a church tonight. We don't have anything to worry about. You take comfort in that, and you rejoice with us as we sing this song.
But we will